Welcome to Sports and a Slice of Life. And now, here's your host, Dave Lewis.
We're so lucky to have listeners all over the world, and now a guest on the other side of the world, women's professional basketball player Rashonda Gray. Help me out how you say this town in South Korea, the city, Asan?
Yes.
Asan Bank Wibby of the WBKL.
Ruri.
Okay.
Ruri Bank.
Okay, give me some help on that. This podcast is off to a rip-roaring start. Rashonda, what about the language? Can you speak any Korean?
Actually, I can speak a little to get me by. I can understand it more than I can speak it. This is like my second year here. So as you can tell, I like the place here. I played a year ago in Incheon.
For someone so young, you're pretty well traveled. Italy, Hungary. This is your second go round in South Korea, plus the WNBA with Minnesota, Atlanta, Connecticut, and now the New York Liberty. What about just your education and being able to travel around, experience new things and new cultures as your life education?
I think it's amazing. And the coolest part about it is a little orange ball got me to these places, which is even better. But I think it's really awesome. I get to make, I still have relationships with like maybe every team I go to, I always try to build a relationship with people because it's just bigger than basketball. And like, they always tell me, like, if you ever want to come back and visit, you can always come back and stay with us. You always got a home here.
What's your favorite food there?
It's called dampokki.
What's that?
Which is like it's kind of like a soup, but it has like a red sauce and it's like filled with like rice cake, noodles. And like, they have like these little square things that's called fish cake. So they're like, it's made out of fish. So that would be probably my favorite dish is dampokki.
When you're jonesing for some American food, do you have some kind of outlet that you can grab onto to feel like home again?
Well, actually, I have the option of either eating here or they just take me to the grocery store and I cook most of the time. But if I don't feel like cooking, then I'll eat the food here. But they have like sushi here. They have like crabs here. We call them emo, which is like our chefs. So like, let's say if I want to eat like some salmon and like potatoes, they actually whip some salmon and potatoes up for me.
Rashonda, I had to get you on because I saw an article on Yahoo Sports about your meeting with Kobe Bryant a long time ago as a middle school kid. First of all, how did you find out about the helicopter crash and what was your reaction?
Man, to this day, I'm still pretty shocked. And how I found about the helicopter crash, mind you that I'm 17 hours ahead of West Coast time. So I was getting ready. I was getting up, getting ready for practice. And I just heard like my notifications going off. And normally like, it's like either news or like my battery is charged or I get like a text message or something. And I'm waking up and I get a notification from the news talking about Kobe Bryant died. So I'm like, what? I mean, I thought I was still dreaming. Like, I just thought it was just like a bad dream and stuff. And I got up, was searching, and it just like kept saying more and more. Him and seven others died in the plane crash. And it was just so sad. It was hard for me to believe. And it still is hard for me to believe today. Like, that whole day, I was literally like, just, I wasn't there. Like, I told my coach and I told my translator, I was like, yo, Kobe Bryant died. Like, that's one of my like mentors. And like, I'm shocked. Like, I'm not even here in practice. So I was like basically like a ghost in practice. I was there, but I wasn't.
Did you see any of the things online with what was happening at Staples Center and all the reaction around Los Angeles?
Yes, I saw that. I saw it, and it like, and this is where it kind of sucks being away from home, that you can't really be there to, you know, give your respects. But lucky for me, when I saw Kobe this past summer, I was just able just to tell him thank you, like just thank you for your time. And just thank you for just giving back to LA After School All-Stars, which I was a part of.
Rashonda Gray from South Korea is with us today. And that middle school period was such an important time in your life. You were not thuggish at all, but you certainly were someone that needed direction at that time in your life.
I mean, I wouldn't consider myself a thug, but I am about my thug life. But I was just a little rough around the edges. You know, I just needed a little guidance. I was rough around the edges. But I was just like, that was just like a, I mean, I was still finding myself around that time. I really didn't know who I was. I didn't know who I wanted to be. I really didn't have any mentors coming from where I come from. So it wasn't really much, like, many role models to look up to around the time. I was like maybe about 13. I was like maybe about 12. I was like maybe 12 or 13 when I saw Kobe.
How did that meeting get set up with Tyrone Dineen and the whole after school All-Stars thing?
You know, it started where, like, you know, they recruit students to come and join the program. And they normally come around lunchtime. And with Tyrone, who was my mentor, he's now my godfather after, like, 14, 15 years later. But he was out there, like, every lunch. And he was just passing out flyers. And, like, I would walk by him, like, every day. And he'll be like, hey, like, I want you and your friends come join the program. I'm like, no. I want to hang out with my friends. They not doing it, so I don't want to do it. It's not cool. I was trying to be cool at the time. So the next day came. He still asked me. I'm like, all right, yeah, I took the paper, but never took it home to my mom. I actually threw the paper away. And then for some reason, that third day, like, he was like, here, okay, like, take this home to your parents. I'm going to sign it. Come back. I'm telling you guys, you'll have a good time. So some gave in. I was like, okay, fine. So I took it home, had my mom sign a paper. And the next day I went to the program. So it was getting me situated, telling me like, oh, I have the option to pick different classes. After School All-Stars was a program to keep kids out of trouble. But it also taught kids a lot of life skills too as well. So they had like cooking classes, they had fashion classes, like you can make your own clothing, you can design your own shoes, jewelry making. It was just like a bunch of classes and courses that they offered. So I got that set up. And then it was something called Countdown. So after school ends every day, you go to Countdown for 20 to 30 minutes. And this is where you do your homework. They make sure that you put school first, so they give you time to do your homework. And I used to come to Countdown late all the time. I used to talk. I used to just basically get in trouble, and I used to get sent to Tyrone's office like almost every day, literally almost every day. He used to get so mad at me. I mean, because he's Caucasian. So he used to get so mad at me, he used to turn red. And I used to just laugh. And I think that it made him more mad, and he used to turn redder. It was crazy. But after getting in trouble by him for like almost a week straight, he finally sat me down and he just talked to me. And he was just like, Rashawn, I know you're not a bad kid. I can see the good in you. You're just hanging around the wrong people. And these people are not trying to add to your life or just help you be better. So you should just try and find better friends and better people to hang around with. I never really had anybody sit down at that age. I never really had anybody sit down and just talk to me. And just tell me something good, because I'm always getting in trouble. So I feel like I got more attention from getting in trouble than doing something good.
What did you want to be then?
I wanted to be a vet. I love animals. I still do love animals. I wanted to be a veterinarian. But I thought, at that time, I thought I can just grow up and just be a vet. No one really educating me about, I have to go to college, I have to go to school, I have to study it. So that's when I decided to take basketball. I was just getting into basketball around the age of like 13. So I was just getting into it. And the reason why I started playing was because my friends were playing and I didn't want to be left out. So when I say Dave, I was trash bags.
Yeah.
If that's what you want to call it. But I was like so taller than everybody. They just basically told me to just like stand underneath the basket, and they was going to toss to me, and I just try and just put it in the basket. This is before I knew what padding your stats was.
Is it hard though at that time when kids have been playing for several years and you're a newbie, you know, and just the, I don't know if you're embarrassed or you're certainly frustrated by not being at that level yet.
Yeah, it was hard, but at the same time, like, I was still new to it, and I really didn't have the love for it, so I really didn't care at that time. Like, I just wanted to be with my friends. It wasn't until I, like, maybe graduated from the, I culminated from the 7th and going to the 8th, where Tyrone told me, he was like, if you're real serious about it, like, you can get your school paid for it. Because at the time, my mom didn't make much money, and my dad didn't make much money as well, neither. So, like, how am I going to be able to pay for school? So I decided to take basketball a little more serious to try and get my education paid for.
Is that about the point in your life where you thought maybe basketball was your ticket out of the Hoover neighborhood?
It was the point where I went on a couple of field trips to after school All-Stars. And like we went to like the Rose Bowl. We went to UCLA summer camps. Like we went outside the LA area of where I was born and raised. I really didn't travel much at that time, but we took field trips to different cities and I was just exposed to different things. And then I started realizing that it was more than South Central LA out there for me. So I wanted to try and do something with myself. Not many good positive things come from my neighborhood, of course. And I just wanted to make my mom proud.
I remember a long time you telling me about being one of seven kids in a one-bedroom apartment, and your bedroom was in the back of the apartment, and that kept you away from the gunfire.
Yeah, our apartment was in the back, and it was like an alleyway. So it was like a lot of bad stuff. Like you hear people arguing, yelling, fighting. Like sometimes people do drive-bys where I was at. So yeah, definitely me and my brothers and sisters, it was three of us. I have three brothers and three sisters. We all slept in a room, in the back room, and my mom and dad slept in the living room. So we was be in the back because bullets and stuff will be less likely to go through the back, you know.
What were some of the scariest moments for you as a kid?
I probably have to say seeing like a couple of my friends pass away, a couple of them get shot by drive-bys, a couple of them have to, like, you know, when you're part of a gang, you got to do certain stuff, and certain stuff can possibly lead to you getting locked away or possibly killing yourself because you can get locked up, and you rather take your own life than go to jail. So it was a couple of those things. And you know, when people saying you're doing good, they always try to like hate on you and throw salt on you. So I remember one time that me and my cousin and my sisters, we had to go outside and fight, actually, because our neighbors, like, they just kept picking on us. They just kept messing with us. And my mom just got like tired of it. At first, my mom was like, no, like, I don't want y'all going out there. I don't want y'all fighting. I don't want y'all taking part in none of it. But enough is enough. Like, they were coming on our door, banging on our door and stuff like that. Like, bust my mama front window out. And my mama just had enough. And it was just one time that me and my sister and my cousin, we just went out there and we just had like a big rumble. I think that was probably like the most memorable like moments for me outside of like the negative things.
It's just, you don't have to brag, but were you a good fighter back in the day?
What? I was getting bodies. I have three brothers and three sisters. I mean, yeah, I have three brothers and three sisters. I used to fight my older brothers. So you tell me if I know how to fight.
I could tell when I met you, you had some class about you, some sophistication, but also that part of you that you were not to be messed with. I knew my place.
Yes, I'm like the sweetest person ever, but I don't like to go back in my bag, but you know, I try to stay away from that. I try to stay away from that, but don't tempt me because it's still there, but I'm just give myself to God and just be a godly woman.
From South Korea, visiting with pro basketball player Rashonda Gray. How did you meet Kobe?
So the first time I met Kobe is when he came to After School All-Stars. He was like a big sponsor of us. He spent a lot of time going to the schools in our community and just visiting and just talking to the kids. So that was the first time that I saw him. And the first time I saw him, I was like, Kobe, like, what does it take? Like, how did you get so successful? He was just saying, like, what's his favorite quote? He was saying, dreams see dedication or something around there. So basically, like, you have to see it. You have to envision yourself being great, even if you're not great yet. And I'm like 13 or 14. I'm like, what the hell does that mean? Okay. And then like eventually as you got older, I started to watch him, you know, he wins championships and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, I think I'm starting to click. It's starting to click of what he was saying. I have to see myself. So I have to envision, even though I'm not there, I still got to work towards being there because that's my end goal. So the ninth grade, I started playing basketball. I was like taller than everybody. And I went to tryouts and I tried out for my high school team at Washington Prep. I tried out for them, and they put me on JV, and the head coach felt like I should have been on varsity, but the assistant coach felt like I wasn't ready to be on varsity. So I ended up playing on JV. And then when I say I was dropping buckets when I was on JV, I had probably at least like 40-point games and like 30-point rebounding games. Like my numbers were ridiculous because like that's how much bigger I was than everybody. And like I started to develop more in my game. And my team was number 16. My team was number 16 in the playoffs, and we came all the way to knock down a number one seed, and we won the whole JV.
How could you,
the whole JV.
Rashonda, how could you not get called up to varsity when you're blowing up like that?
That's what I'm saying.
Come on now.
And then he realized, he was like, I made a mistake. I'm like, yeah, you did, but it was okay because that was something that I needed. I needed like a confidence booster I had to see for myself how great I can be. So being with that happening, I tried out for this AAU team. And when I tried out for this AAU team, I wasn't as good as the other girls that were trying out. I just needed a little work. Like, I was rough around the edges. So, I guess the coach got frustrated with me. I don't know kind of what was his point of this. So he put me at the end by myself. So I was practicing layups. I was 14. I was practicing layups by myself while I watched all the other girls like play 5-on-5, 3-on-3, just having fun and laughing. As a 14-year-old girl, you want to be with everybody too. You want to laugh and you want to have fun, right? So I feel like from that day on, I feel like I wanted to be respected. Like I wanted to be the best. So I put in all type of hours before practice. After practice, I used to work on my game. I lived outside the school district. So I had one of my assistant coaches, his name was Donald Brown. He used to take me home every day at like nighttime after practice, didn't ask for a dollar for gas money or anything. And the fact that he took me home when he didn't even live in my direction because it wasn't safe for me to catch the bus home. So he took me home literally every day. Didn't ask for gas money, didn't ask for anything. He just said, too, I want you to be the best. His name was Donald Brown, and I lost him last March due to colon cancer. And just seeing him taking me home every day without asking for anything, and my coach, high school coach at the time, Ricky Blackman, him working with me, that just made me even want to work even harder. And David, within that freshman, that summer of my ninth grade year, to my 11th grade year, my signing day, I became league MVP. I became city player multiple times. I played on the USA team, and I became a McDonald's All-American. And I got a full ride scholarship to UC Berkeley. So I was just dedicated. And that's what I meant when Kobe said, your dreams have to see dedication through.
Rashonda, I heard him say one time that I have some talent, I'm blessed, but I work like I don't have any, which I thought really resonated. So someone like you that's tall and athletic and long, you got some ability, but you work to make yourself a great player.
Yes, definitely did. I definitely put in the time. Anytime I talk to young girls, I always tell them what you put in is what you get out. You know, if you only put in half, you're going to get in half. But if you go all the way, then your reward is going to be great. So with that being said, I saw, and this is where, like, I saw Kobe, like, this past summer at All-Star Weekend. And, like, they was like, oh, Kobe Bryant here. Like, you want to meet him? I'm like, heck yeah, I want to meet Kobe Bryant. So, like, at halftime, it was, like, halftime or, like, before a timeout, we went over to meet Kobe Bryant. And, like, I shook his hand, and I just said, like, just thank you, Kobe Bryant. Like, I was like, just thank you. Like, I appreciate, like, all the effort that you put into the after-school All-Stars because it matters. But not only that, I don't know if you remember, like, me. He was like, yeah, I think I kind of remember you. You know, I had to shout out Bret Hart Middle School, and he was like, oh, okay. And I was like, I'm from Bret Hart Middle School. You putting the time in, taking the time out to talk to us, like, it mattered. And he was just like, the look on his face was just like, he was like happy to actually like see something, you know, unfold. And not only that, like, we took the picture with him, and Gigi was sitting down. I'm like, come on, Gigi, get up and take the picture. Like, and she's like, okay. And then, like, we just, like, took the picture. And that was, like, my memory of, like, them. So when I found out that he did pass away, I was still shocked, but, like, I'm able to be okay because I told him thank you.
It gave some closure to you then.
Yeah, so I had closure because I told him thank you this past summer.
What a great story. And he did so much great work in the community that a lot of folks have read about in the last few weeks. And you're paying it forward too, right, with No Gray Areas.
Whoop, whoop.
Tell me about that.
You know, Gray Areas is my baby, and I've been talking about No Gray Area for a long time. I was in high school. I was sitting in my PE office with my athletic director, who's on my board. Her name is Kim Bly. And we were just sitting down. I'm like, I want to do something. Like, she's like, okay, what you want to do? I was like, I want to, like, give back. And she's like, how do you want to give back? I was like, I don't know, maybe to, like, young girls. And then she was like, okay, maybe you should start something called No Gray Areas. I was like, No Gray Areas? That's actually kind of catchy. So we took it and we ran with it. And that was just something that was driven from me being a part of After School All-Stars, which is also like a nonprofit, and them just taking a chance on me and just giving me an opportunity. So I kind of want to pay it forward with my platform and give the next girl an opportunity.
What kind of things happen with No Gray Areas? I clicked on your website. It looks pretty cool. Your website's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. It's still a work in progress. I can't wait till I'm, like, able to be back in the States and I can just actually, you know, do more things. But No Gray Areas, when you're in that gray area, that means you're undecided. And you're in the, should I do it? Should I not do it? When you in that position, that's the gray area. My job is to help young girls get from the undecided to the decided through academics, athletics, and socially. Because I feel like all three of them is important, all three of them entwine with each other.
You know Kobe would be proud, right?
Yes, he will be proud. I was definitely going to try and recruit Gigi to be part of No Gray Areas. But all because of him just giving back and just taking a chance, I can honestly say that he had a part to play in it too as well.
That's a great story, Rashonda. Hey, what made you decide to go to Cal? What were your other options at that time coming out of high school?
You know, I had a lot of options.
Yeah, I bet.
I had so many options. It was kind of difficult, but It came down to USC and it came down to Cal. And both of them are great schools. My godmom, Marissa Blackshire, was really big on academics as well as my mom. They always talk about just get good grades, go to school, get good grades. She was like, I don't even care about basketball. As long as you get good grades, that's all that matters to me. So she really, like, pushed good grades. And not only that, I didn't know anything about ACTs and SATs at the time. Once again, I just thought, oh, I can just graduate, just go to any college. But she actually helped me with SATs and ACTs by putting me in, like, practice courses. So, like, I will, like, learn some of the things that was on a test and, like, do the practice test and, like, take the real test. So she actually put me onto it. So she was big on academics, so I was like, okay, like, I also want to make her proud too, but I also want to, like, make everybody else proud by going to, like, a good school where I'm able to not just go and win a championship, I want to be a part of something special. So it came down to USC and Cal, and I chose Cal over USC because, one, I knew if I would love to play at home in front of my family, but I know, like, I would easily get distracted. But not only that, it's this one bus, it's called the 81, and it runs down Figueroa, and it will only take my mom 10 minutes to get to my dorm, and I didn't want that. So I didn't want my mom coming to pop up on me anytime she wanted. So I decided to choose Cal, one, because it was, like, number one public school in the whole country, Two, it's in the Bay Area, which is a beautiful place. And three, I knew I could make magic there. So that was some of the reasons why I chose Cal.
You made magic happen, girl, with that team that made the run to the Final Four in 2013. You had Leisha Clarendon, Brittany Boyd, Michaela Lyles was the sharpshooter off the bench, Jennifer Brandon, Talia Caldwell. You had Eliza Pierre as the defensive stopper. At what point did you think that, hey, you know what? We've got something special here and we could be really good.
I mean, just in practice. I would probably say just in practice, I knew we were something special. Just the way that we competed every day and we just went after it. Like, we loved each other, but we was ready to, inside those lines, we was ready to take each other heads off because we were just so competitive, we wanted to win. But not only that, off the court, we were just so close and, like, just, we was tight. So I just felt like any team, like, chemistry like that, like, is definitely, you're definitely going to make magic happen. So I just knew, like, just from practices and just being around each other like that, we were something special. But I also give a lot of credit to, like, Jeezy, Charmin, who was it, Darren Park, Kai, all the coaches, too, as well. I felt like they did a really good job at recruiting the people who they felt was going to, you know, match, who was going to match together and work together.
Were you recruited to Cal by Joanne Boyle or Lindsay Gottlieb?
I think I was recruited by Joanne Boyle. Yeah, because I went on a couple unofficial visits. And I was recruited by Joanne Boyle. But then when I found out she was leaving, like, I was sad. So I had the option to either continue to go to Cal or go elsewhere. Another visit that I went on to that I actually loved so much was Gonzaga. Like, with Kelly Graves, like, I love him. He is amazing. But I went on a visit there to him, and I was close. I was close when I found out that Joanne Boyer was leaving. You know, Gonzaga came back into the picture. My goddad, of course, and my godmama's from Spokane. I went to Spokane every Christmas and in the summertime. Like, I love Spokane. That was, like, my second home, like, outside of L.A. So it came down to Gonzaga, because I didn't know who the coach was going to be at the time after Joanne left. But then when I heard about Lindsay Gottlieb, I was like, oh, she sounds familiar. And I thought it was pretty cool because the recruiting process, she was the head coach at UC Santa Barbara. And you know me, like, I'm going to give, if you take the time out to recruit me, I'm going to give you the time, I'm going to give you the respect to at least tell you that I'm not going to attend your team, but thank you for recruiting me. Like, I really appreciate it. So I had called Lindsay up and I was like, thank you for recruiting me. Like, I appreciate it, but I'm looking at other schools. She was like, okay, well, like, I wish you the best. Like, make sure you stay healthy and continue to be you. And I was just like, thank you. And that was, like, the last conversation that I had with her. So when I found out that she was the head coach, I called her back and I was like, okay, so you're the head coach now. And I know you work with Dev. I know you work with Ash. So I'm excited to see the magic that you have working with me. So I thought that was, like, pretty awesome that I had the chance to just tell her thank you to know UC Santa Barbara. But then she ended up becoming my head coach and I ended up signing with Cal.
How were you different by the time you left Cal from when you went in there as a 18, 19-year-old, the maturity of a kid becoming a young woman?
How different was I? I would probably have to say, like, I feel like I've always been, since I was, like, maybe 15 or 16, like, I moved out my parents' house. I moved out my mom's house, and I moved with my godparents. And I just felt like at that age, that was, like, a mature decision for me. So I feel like since I moved out, like, my mom's house and lived, like, elsewhere, I feel like my godparents played a big part of me to be mature and set me up pretty well to go to college and make big decisions. I think I had a good head on my shoulders at the time, and I just always try to think long-term and study short-term. So I can say that I was in a different space from when I first got into college. I was just playing basketball to play basketball, and when I, like, finished playing, I was playing for a reason.
What did it mean to you, Rashonda, to be the first in your family to graduate, especially from a school like Cal?
It meant everything, because a lot of people felt like I wasn't going to make it at Cal, wasn't going to be successful at Cal, and a lot of, you know, I didn't want to name drop, but a lot of teams like UCLA and like a bunch of other teams stopped recruiting me because they felt like I wasn't going to have the grades. So a lot of people stopped recruiting me because, you know, I'm coming from South Central LA, public school, not all that great. But thank you to my godmom that she was really on my academics. So she made sure I maintained a certain GPA because I was at a public school. So a lot of teams stopped recruiting me because they felt like I didn't have the grades. So I was like, okay, that's fine. And then when I got to Cal, I'm not going to even lie, I had like a 2.3 GPA. Because even though I had a high GPA in high school, I still feel like that my public school didn't prepare me for Cal. Which, mind you, that I'm competing, I'm in a classroom and I'm competing. It was like, what, 30% of Asians, 3% of Black. So I probably was like the only Black girl in my class. So it wasn't easy. It was not easy at all. It was hard. So I had my first semester at Cal was like a 2.3. But you know me, I'm a hard worker. I'm resilient. I'm determined. So I got my tutor. Thank God that they provide us with a tutor. And I was with my tutor literally every day. And we were just working. She was teaching. Her name was Bianca. She was a real one. She was from Detroit. So she knew the struggle. So she knew where I was coming from. So it was like easy to work with her. And every day I was with my tutor. Every day. Some of my teammates be like, you want to go eat lunch? I'd be like, no, I'm studying with my tutor. They was like, dang, you always with your tutor. I'm like, yep. Yep. So that first semester, I just been with my tutor. I worked really hard. I graduated, I think, with like maybe a 3.0, Dave, from Cal. Yep, that'll work, right? So like I graduated with that and I was just like really happy. And like the reporter asked me like, oh, like what's one of your favorite, like what are you most excited about? Are you excited about the WNBA? Or are you excited about like, what are you excited about? I said, I'm excited about getting my diploma because that's something that I work hard for. I stayed up late nights, you know, early mornings to get that piece of paper. Like it meant so much to me because I'll be the first in my family. And not only that, like a lot of people doubted me. So I got a chance to prove my haters wrong and walk across that stage.
Yeah. And you get a chance to kind of set the tone for future generations. There's an example that they can follow, you know?
Yeah. Yep. If I can do it, you can do it too.
No, you should be really proud, girl. I know I am.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate that.
So the plan is to go back to the New York Liberty. Last year, you started 10 games, averaging 5 points, 5 rebounds. I know the season didn't go the way you hoped. 7-27, and it kind of ended with a downward spiral. You see the program trending upward, moving ahead to next season.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. You know, I'm really proud of myself because you know after what 2015, 2016, one of those years, I got traded from Atlanta. I went to Connecticut. Got waived by Connecticut with losing my confidence, David, losing my hopes and stuff like that. I went to Connecticut, bust my butt, still got waived. So, you know, I'm not going to lie, that knocked me down a little bit. Went to New York that following year, bust my butt then, try to prove myself, got knocked off again. So I'm like, dang, like, am I not good enough? Like, what's up? Am I not good enough? Like, what's up? But then luckily I had like my boyfriend at the time and current boyfriend was just like always there, just being positive. And once again, he saw something that I didn't see. He saw that vision of me just being great. And just him saying something and wanting it more than me, it's like, no, you can't want something more than me. So that just made me work even harder. And just I was in the gym with Olin at the time, who was like a dope trainer back in LA. So we was just working. I was like, nah, I'm not going to take no for an answer. So I went into camp last year. I was like, nah, y'all going to keep me. Like, I'm going to show y'all, like, what's up. So I ended up making the team, and it was just like a relief, you know, after being out for 2 years. You know, yeah, after being out for 2 years, I just worked really hard. You know, just kept my head steady and just put in a lot of work, and I just made the team. Ended up coming back. You know, I'm pretty sure I had some great games. You know, at one point in time, I was leading the league in rebounds, which was pretty awesome considering it's been now 2 years. So I'm excited. And I'm looking forward to this upcoming year.
How's your game better?
You know, fouling. I feel like fouling has always hunted me, David. I don't know why. In college, in high school, middle school. But my thing is, so I really want to focus on defense this year. I want to focus on just trying to stay on the floor more because my team will need me on the floor more than just getting fouls. So that, you know, just working on my ball handling and being more consistent with the jump shot and just being a force down there, continue to be a force and just do what I do best.
Is it more comforting for you when you have a person that you've played with before, like Brittany Boyd? And I sent you a text yesterday. Your team just signed Lasia also. So you get a couple of Cal Bears. How cool is that?
Bears on the East Coast. It's always great playing with people that's familiar, that you play with before. You know how they, you know what they love, you know what they like, you know how to read them because you have experience with them. They know what you like, they know where to give you the ball, they know where to find you. But not only that, you know how to connect with them as well. So I think it's pretty awesome. Not only that, like with head coach Walt, he was a player development up at Cal when I was there. So I had the chance to work with him before and after that when he was in Minnesota. Like I just always tell him like, okay, Walt, like I used to always joke with him. Like, I'd be like, okay, Walt, I see you moving on up. Like, now you're the assistant coach. Okay, like I see you. He'd be like, thanks, Gregory. And when I called him, when I found out he got the head coaching job, I called him. I was like, this is not Rashonda Gray. This is Gregory. Back in college, everybody used to call me Gregory. So I'm like, this is Gregory. I'm like, okay, Coach Walt, I see you with the head coaching job. And he just laughed and stuff like that. So it was just like great to just have a good conversation. But not only that, I want to see everybody win. So it was good to see him win. I'm happy to see Elijah in New York. I feel like she's a great vet. Her leadership is amazing. I feel like Brittany's a hard worker. She's going to go after things. And I feel like with Tina and Elijah being like great leaders, New York is going to have something pretty special.
Who are the role models there that you respect, maybe veterans that have been in the league 10, 12 years, like a Tina Charles, where you say, you know what, I can pull something from her game, how she works, how she plays?
You know, Tina, I used to watch Tina and I used to watch Tina when she was in college. And I used to always tell her, every time I see her, I used to always tell her, like, I love you. She'd be like, at first she used to be like, I love you too. And then after a while, she'd be like, yo. So I put out love her, but it's always like, man, Tina, I learned something from her every day. And just to go out there and just compete with someone who I watch is just another blessing for me. Like, I have to go at her. Like, she had to go at me, but I get to go at her. She win more often, but that's okay. I'm not going to stop going at her. But I learned something from Tina every day. And not only that, like, just Bria Harley, too. And not only I get to learn something, I get to also teach too as well, like Han and like Asia Durr, like just show them the way, try to show them the ropes.
Rashonda, do you feel like there's a sisterhood there that you'll have relationships forever, just like the college girls?
Of course. Of course. The whole WNBA is a sisterhood.
What do you think of the women making the difference in the NBA coaches like Christy Tolliver with the Wizards, Lindsay Harding, Philadelphia. One of my favorites is Natalie Nicasi, the Clippers. Of course, Lindsay with Cleveland. Women making inroads in the NBA.
You can't get Becky in Teaspoon.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, Becky Hammons, of course.
And Teaspoon. But yeah. It's great because you can see that, like, how things are evolving and things are changing. And I'm not saying, like, you know, women are getting more opportunities, and that's all we ask for, is just to have an opportunity, just to show what we're capable of doing. And I think it's amazing that they're starting to realize it.
You think Teaspoon will forgive me for not putting her on that list right there?
You know, no, but I'll tell her to forgive you, and she will forgive you.
Thank you. Also, Jenny Bishop in Dallas. Sorry. Hey, so what do you want to do when you're done playing, Rashonda? What do you think is on the horizon for you? And you got some years left, so that's down the road.
Yeah, I got some gas in the tank still. But one of my things I want to do, I really definitely want to focus on no gray areas. That's my baby, and I just want to see her blossom.
Why are you ashamed of loving Finding Nemo?
You know, because everybody thinks that's a kid's movie. But I just think that it's a great movie because it teaches you, like, it doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what you look like, you can overcome anything. Even though he had a little fin, he made it back home and found his dad. And it just also showed, like, fatherhood, too, as well, the bond of fatherhood, which I really like, is that, like, travel across the whole sea with a friend who also had, like, Dory couldn't remember. She couldn't remember anything. So just not only that, it's just not giving up on people is why, like, one of the reasons why I love the movie the most. It's not just not giving up on the things that you love.
Would you consider yourself emotional, like cry easily?
It depends. Sometimes you can get a tear or two out of me, and sometimes you get a straight face. Emotionally, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's a Gemini in me. I will say I do have two sides.
Is there a movie that makes you cry that you think, oh, why am I? Because I cried watching Pocahontas. I confess doing that. John Smith. No, John Smith goes away on the boat, and she's there standing at the dock, and I'm weeping. Come on now.
Is there a movie? I'm big on Marvels. I'll probably have to say, like, the Infinity War where Iron Man dies. I'll probably have to say, like, that was pretty sad to see him die.
Yeah.
But the fact that he still is living in Spider-Man is still pretty awesome.
I got to tell our audience before we go, we were talking on the phone yesterday, and you mentioned that conversation with Kobe, how that one conversation really left an impact and shaped you moving forward. And I wanted everybody to know, like, when you were with Cal Berkeley, the Bears won the Pac-12 for the first time ever your sophomore year.
Yes.
And you win the championship at the University of Washington, and the team's partying on the inside. And I'm the man play-by-play announcer, so I'm not really on the team, and I'm certainly not in the locker room. But you come out, and I'm kind of just hanging around with our video coordinator and the other people. You go back in the locker room, and you come back out with a Pac-12 championship T-shirt for me. And everyone else is kind of just hanging out with the team. They're with the girls or with the coaches. And you're thinking about the support staff. It's a small gesture, but I remember that for 7 years now. And it's meant everything. And it just showed me what kind of a person you are.
Oh, thank you, Dave. And don't say you're not a part of the team because you are a part of the team, okay? Because if it wasn't for you, my people back home wouldn't hear the games on the radio, which is important. So don't say that. But you know me, like, I'm always show you love, David. Since day one, you show me love. So my thing is to only show you love. And, like, I appreciate the little things that you do. And I just feel like a lot of people don't think who they supposed to think, you know, if that makes sense. Because just as much as I had to do with playing, or Leisha had to do with playing and making a bucket, or coaching, you've been on the radio too, is just as important.
You're the best. You're absolutely the best. Hey, how long do you spend in that season before you come back? And is there much of a downtime before you go to training camp?
Forever. No. No, I've been here. You know, it all depends on where you go. I've been over here since September. You know, I didn't get a chance to go home for Thanksgiving or Christmas. So it's, like, tough. It's a grind. But, you know, it's what you sign up for. I'm telling myself that I'm coming back in April, around April 10th, because I want to win a championship. So that's my goal. That's my mindset. And I'll be back in the States in April, like around April 10th.
Is your body fresh at that point, or do you need to kind of recharge from playing?
I probably definitely have to recharge. But you know that recharge got to be short, because then the WNBA training can't roll around, and you got to get going for that. So it's, like, hard, but it's all mental. You just got to push through.
Yeah, I can't tell you how proud I am of you to see what you've come from, and to turn into the player you were. You were the Pac-12 Player of the Year. You had the 43-point game against Washington State as a junior, setting the school record. It's been a pleasure watching you grow as a player and as a person. Super awesome.
Thank you, Dave. I appreciate it. I'm proud of you too, man. You're doing big things over at iHeartRadio. So keep doing your thing.
From South Korea, women's professional basketball player Rashonda Gray. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, YouTube, and iHeartRadio. Our executive producer is Hunter Lewis. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your positive comments and feedback. We'll talk to you next time.